And welcome to the post-game show presented by Rico here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com following the Eagles' shocking 48-30 loss on the road to the Minnesota Vikings, snapping their five-game winning streak. I'm Bo Wolf, joined by former Eagles quarterback A.J. Feely and ESPN insider Adam Kaplan. And guys, a lot of questions to be asked following this game. How does a defense that had allowed 29 points or fewer in nine consecutive games allow 48 points to a Minnesota Vikings offense without Adrian Peterson, without Toby Gerhart? They allow Matt Castle to go 26 of 35 for 382 yards, two touchdowns, a 116.6 quarterback rating. How does LeSean McCoy only get eight carries in this game, a game where the Eagles offense moved the ball but failed to score in the red zone several times? And really, from beginning to end, save for about a three-minute period at the end of the third quarter, come out and look so sloppy with really a big game with playoff implications. We'll start with you, AJ.
How do you go about this game? I think it's one of those things where I don't know if there's answers for it. You might have to chalk it up as just one of those games and move on and look forward to the next one. Obviously, going into this game, they had high expectations and they were playing great football, especially on defense. Offensively, they laid an egg, I felt like. You know, there was good individual performances, but, you know, they weren't scoring as much as they needed to.
Yeah, now I would say this. It wasn't just one thing. It was the lack of rushes for LeSean McCoy. Nick Foles was not sharp today. Don't let the numbers fool you. I don't think he was particularly sharp. The offensive line gave him too much pressure. Defensively, they couldn't get off the field. Way too many yards. Not enough pressure on Matt Castle. Again, it wasn't really any one thing, but Nick Foles, I thought, struggled a little bit with his accuracy today. Just the touch wasn't there. And he held on to the ball a little bit too long. He was trying to make a play, which we saw a little bit in recent games, where he holds on to it just a little bit too long. He wasn't playing with that great timing anticipation, which really has been a big part of his game. I didn't see that as well today.
Well, if Nick Foles was struggling a little bit, why didn't the offense lean a little bit more on the league's leading rusher, LeSean McCoy? As we said, only eight carries.
That's a huge question. I think everybody's asking the same thing. I mean, with only eight carries from LeSean McCoy and after his performance last week, that's going to be the major question all week.
I put that one or two, and I look at it like this with Chip Kelly. The one thing that I really admire about him, even when they're down, and they've been down through, you know, every once in a while in games, they still run the football. They're still committed to it. That's why you see the big runs in the second half, because they're so committed to running it, and you wear down the defense doesn't know what's coming and so forth. This game, they just completely abandoned the run. It was very surprising to me. And the game was really, guys, it was never out of hand. That's the thing. It really surprises me. But the other thing is the reluctance to kick the ball to Cordarrelle Patterson. That to me was a little bit surprising. They're indoors. There's no wind. You don't have to worry about the weather. But they decided they were not going to let him beat him after what happened maybe last week. I don't know. But that also was a little bit of a surprise.
Offensively, I think the game plan had a lot to do with the fact that the Vikings cornerbacks, their top three guys, were all inactive. They were starting Sean Prater at cornerback, a guy who was buried on the Eagles roster earlier this season. He started. He ended up having an interception. And, I mean, there were holes in the passing game. DeSean Jackson had 10 catches for 195 yards and a touchdown. So there were plays to be made, but I think we were just surprised at how little LeSean McCoy got the ball.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But we had said in our kickoff show that if you're going to win this game, you're probably going to have to attack the corners, because they were down to three corners, and you have to do that. They did get Harrison Smith back, one of their starting safeties, but he didn't start the game. The bottom line is this. It wasn't just one facet of the team. Offense, defense, special teams, clearly not good enough. And I'm not going to say this team regressed. I think AJ hit it right. This is just one of those games. For whatever reason, they also did not get off to a good start. This has been uncharacteristic with this team that they didn't come back and take the lead. Now, they did fight in the third quarter, as we saw. They made it very interesting. But in the end, they could not get off the field in the fourth quarter, which was the story of the game.
We will have Chip Kelly's press conference live for you coming up here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. He'll address all those questions. Also coming up in a little bit, Ike Reese is going to break down some of the X's and O's that occurred in this game. On a macro level, what happens now for the Eagles? Come into this game, they controlled their own destiny. Now, they're assuming that the Cowboys are able to win in Green Bay, or at home against Green Bay this afternoon. We'll keep track of that game. If the Cowboys win this week and next week, and the Eagles lose to the Bears next week, week 17 doesn't even matter. They'll be eliminated. So the Eagles now face a must-win game next week against a very hot Chicago Bears team, and a team with big receivers. And now you're looking at the possibility that Brandon Boykin may not be able to play. He left with a head injury. We'll hear a little bit more about that from Chip Kelly. But the Eagles now, after riding high with a five-game winning streak, now it's sort of gut check time. Their backs are going to be up against the wall a little bit.
Yeah, it's a tough situation for them. You know, they don't control their own destiny right now. And that's tough. I mean, they've got to approach it as if they have to win every single game going forward, because they actually do. But, you know, it's tough now relying on another team to lose.
Well, they do. If they can, if they win both games because they play the Cowboys Week 17, they do control their own destiny from that aspect. But they do now have to do a little bit more scoreboard watching.
Yeah, no question about it. Also, the safeties, two safeties got hurt today. It's the first game, Bo, in a while that we're talking about injuries.
Yeah.
And you know, the depth certainly is being tested. We talked about in the kickoff show about the bottom of the roster. This has been one of the big stories for the team this year that's been so positive, is they're getting contributions from a lot of players. But Colt Anderson's pressed into service at safety. He gets hurt. Patrick Chung gets benched, we should mention, and then he has to be put back in the game. Too many breakdowns defensively. To give up 48 points to a team that was injury depleted at running back, Matt Asiata, of all people, although he didn't rush for hardly any yardage, his three touchdowns, surprising to me, bottom line.
I mean, 30 carries for 51 yards. I'm not too worried. He had three touchdowns, but it wasn't the ground game that beat the Eagles today.
It was
Matt
no
Castle.
Question.
And that's the secondary is what you talked about. We'll quickly go through it. Patrick Chung was benched after he allowed the Greg Jennings long touchdown, 57 yards. Then Kurt Coleman came in. Coleman left. He got hurt. Colt Anderson came in for their three safety packages. He got hurt too. So the Eagles struggling a little bit in the secondary. The good news is that we expect Earl Wolfe will be back next week. He did not play today, but he is getting pretty close.
Yeah, the thing that they have to do is let him take full practices. That has really not happened. You need to see that on Wednesday and Thursday. We know that Friday is very light. So we'll see. They really need Earl Wolfe back, Bo. I would agree with you there.
AJ, what's this this plane ride going to be like on the way home?
Well, it's going to be tough. Hopefully they can forget it real quick, because they got to move on and they got to get past it. You know, they've got a couple games ahead of them, and they got to play like they have something to, you know, play for, which they actually do.
Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, AJ, do you feel it as a player that it's a playoff race? I mean, this is what you would be thinking right now. Do you feel like it's right in the balance here?
Yeah, I think there's an era about that. But as a player, like, you know, and it becomes cliche, you think about it one play or one game at a time. But truly, that's what you do. You can't get ahead of yourself. But I think everybody in the locker room realizes what's on the line here. And what's interesting to note is that as you get down the stretch with games, is it, you know, the bench comes into play because injuries happen, and that's in the name of the game. So guys that are on your team, even if they haven't played early in the year, if they've been benched or they've been injured, they're going to be expected to play, especially, you know, later in the week.
Chip will also be asked in his press conference about a little altercation on the sideline after Nick Foles' touchdown, or interception rather, to Sean Prater. DeSean Jackson was getting into it a little bit with his teammates on the sideline. He's going to be asked a little bit about that. I mean, it's good to see emotion from the guys on the sideline, and DeSean had a big day. He came back and bounced back from that, but a little bit of tumult on the sidelines there.
Yeah, don't know what that's about, but this is not the first time that's happened in the National Football League. These things happen, but the bottom line is, this is what, you know, I would have to say the Denver game was the last time they really played poorly. This was a bad game. I mean, this from start to finish, Bo, begin to end, this was a bad performance by the Eagles team today. Again, we don't have an answer for it. The Eagles had been one of the best road teams in the National Football League this season, coming into this game at 5-1. So you feel like they could come in and defeat a team like this. But, and I said at the top here, giving a bad team at home something to feel good about, getting on top, getting behind if you're the Eagles, you don't want to give a team like that any confidence. And they did, no question about it.
AJ, have there been times that you can remember where, for some reason or another, your team just sort of came out flat?
Yeah, it happens. I mean, I chalk it up to, you know, when Nick Foles played bad against Dallas. You know, you have bad games like that, and you approach it like almost like a golfer. You know, the more you press, you know, the tougher you find your swing. Same thing for a quarterback, from every player, and it can happen to a team as well.
All right. So again, we're awaiting Chip Kelly's press conference live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Adam, anything else you're looking to hear from the head coach?
The decision not to kick to Cordell Patterson.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to cut you off. We do have Chip Kelly himself.
Best returner in the league, and even, you know, if you look at what he's done during the season, even when you do kick it deep, he takes it out, and he's got a 109-yard kickoff return. Knew how dangerous he was, and we're just trying to keep the ball away from him. It's got to go out the back if he does it, because, like, as I said, you know, Patterson has returned 109 for a touchdown, so he's going to take it out no matter how deep it is. So it would literally have to be out the back of the end zone. No, we hit the ball a lot better during the week and had covered it a lot better during the week.
How do you explain coming out what seemed to be so flat?
You know, it's a good question. You know, I thought we had a great week of practice, but we don't make excuses. We didn't play well enough to win today.
Do you think that this being a game against a lesser team that's
No, I don't, and it shouldn't. No, we got down a little bit there, and we really weren't moving them very well up front. But I think some of the, you know, trying to take advantage of some of the matchups in the passing game, you know, trying to free up Deshaun and those guys in terms of also using, I thought LeSean was a very good weapon in the passing game itself, you know, with the screen passes and some of the underneath routes, you know, and didn't convert in a red zone, you know, and then we're down, and it felt like we were down two scores all the time. So just trying to get back into it.
Chip, today, when the team was warming up, when they were on the field, when things got down early, I mean, did you sense that they didn't have some of the same resilience that they've shown or some of that energy?
No, I really didn't. You know, I thought, you know, even when we were down at halftime, you know, we drove at the end of the first half to get nine, you know, and felt like we could come out at the beginning of the second. First drive of the second half, get something going. First down, we get something going. Then we take a sack on second down, and, you know, that hurts us. You know, and we got to be able to not put ourselves in those negative situations. We got to, you know, we felt like down, I think it was 17-9 at the half. We score there, and it's a, you know, we're back in the game, and so. I thought we could have made it, and I also thought if we don't make it, we're in trouble. You know, if we can't gain a half a yard, maybe it tells you what the day's all about. But, you know, you got to think in fourth a half a yard, we can get a half a yard. So they didn't blitz. It wasn't like there was a, you know, an all-out coming at us. You know, we need to come off the ball and get some movement at the point of attack and dig ourselves out of that hole right there. You know, we hadn't gotten anything going at that point in time. So, you know, hoping we could jumpstart something there. So. I saw the ball, and I think he missed. I don't think he even saw the corner. I think he thought he was wide open, and then I didn't see the tail part of it. So.
Chip, what happened? Why was Jackson so upset after that?
I don't know. I just went over with Jason Avant, tried to squash it, and then we'll get to the bottom of it.
Why was his team, your team, so undisciplined?
That will be straightened out. You know, that's not how we're supposed to play, and obviously unacceptable, and we'll take care of that. You know, I thought we knew going in that was going to be an issue in terms of very talented at the receiver position. And, you know, right from the get-go, I thought Castle was on fire and throwing the ball around a little bit. I know Billy tried to change some things up and changing coverages. And we need to generate a little bit more pressure on him and make sure that he can't set his feet when he throws. But we need to be a little bit closer in coverage, too. Yeah, I think Kurt's done a good job in practice and just trying to find out, you know, since Earl's been down, trying to find out where we are, and you know, I think Earl deserve. I mean, Kurt deserves some time, and we're just trying to figure out who can play.
He
was just, you know, the doctors didn't think he was ready this week, so we'll see where he is next week.
What happened on the 2-point conversion?
Just a miscommunication upstairs. We should have gone for two, and that's on me. So, call timeout and make sure we're in the right situation. Yeah, we didn't. I don't think Nick, everybody. I don't think we played well on the offensive side of the ball. We were not on track and did not do what we normally do. And what's led us to, you know, when we were 3-5 and kind of dug ourselves out of a hole there, and we were playing well on the offensive side of the ball and had a rhythm to what we were doing. And today we didn't. So.
Can you go back and say the pattern on kick again? Does that send a message to your kickoff coverage team that hey, we're not sure you can handle doing this? Is there some kind of negative message there?
I don't think so. Was he benched for the taunting? No, I think Billy handled that at the end. I'll talk to Billy and get that straightened out.
So
I didn't bench him for taunting, no.
So you don't know what Kerry did?
I'll talk to Billy, I said.
When Nick Foles is backlash line, what did you see?
You can't cut going back towards your own end zone, so I thought it was, you know, it's the right call for what the penalty is. So.
Was the block necessary to the
ball? He has to seal that guy, you know, and I don't think he had to cut him, so. Tell them the same message that I told them when we were 3-5 is that we didn't play well enough to win today, but we need to stick together. And that's what we did when we were 3-5, and that's what we'll continue to do if we're going to be able to finish this thing off the right way.
All right, so there you have it. Chip Kelly wraps up the Eagles' shocking 48-30 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. Before we react to that, we're going to send it over to our buddy Ike Reese, who breaks down the good and the ugly from the Eagles today.
saw this play a couple weeks ago versus Arizona where they had. With a great route and great timing from Nick Foles.
Roll it.
Roll it.
All right, we're going to fix that in a little bit. Ike will get that rolling. Guys, Chip Kelly says, really no excuses. You thought they had a good week of practice, which I guess you're always going to expect, but no really explanation for the ugliness of the loss today.
No, Chip also was asked about kicking to Patterson. They just, it was clear. He said they weren't going to do it. There's a decision they made during the week, and that was one small thing. But, AJ, you know this. You played. Mentally, sometimes, and I never could. It's impossible to explain this. You just don't have it. To play like this against a bad football team. And yeah, the Vikings played out of their mind. They played a great game, but the Eagles are a better football team.
Yeah, they're definitely a better football team. But you can't discount the fact that that's an NFL football team. In any week, regardless of who you're playing, you have a chance to get beat. And you have to play your best game. And obviously, they didn't do that today. And going back to kicking to Patterson, I think that was the plan, not to kick to him, but I think they would have liked to have seen better kicks, something that was more in the corner, that was still down the field. Obviously, you don't want to kick a squib kick that's only going 15 to 20 yards and giving them great field position.
A couple specific plays we didn't talk about. One was the double reverse on fourth and one to Deshaun Jackson. That would have been a touchdown, but Nick Foles had the illegal cutback block. AJ, you said that's more of a coaching function.
Yeah, I mean, there's two ways to look at that thing. There's only one play that you're running like that during the week, and as a quarterback coach and as a coach, I think it's up to you to explain the rules to the quarterback. I know when we ran plays like that in reverses, we always knew going into it what we could do and what we couldn't do. I'd like to think that they told Nick that, and maybe he just, in the heat of the moment, reacted that way because he felt like he had to get him down. But, you know, I don't know where the onus goes and who's responsible
for that.
Shame
of it is, it was so perfectly executed. I mean, they could not have drawn up any better. It was beautiful. And as you said, Bo, it was funny. They've been waiting to run this probably for months, and they've done it, and now they'll have to put it away a little bit. But it's a shame. And, you know, it's a microcosm of the game. Some bad penalties today. Last week, they had one penalty for 5 yards. Today, not only did they have some bad penalties, two unsportsmanlike penalties in the second half, which you can't have.
All right, we're going to send it back over to Ike Reese now. We'll give this one another shot, the good and bad from the Eagles' loss.
We got it this time, Bo. Nick Foles, they had an up-and-down day, finished with a great day in the stats column, but it was up and down. Take a look here. This play was ran earlier this year versus the Arizona Cardinals with Patrick Peterson here. I love the fact that Deshaun Jackson is in the backfield. They recognize his man-to-man coverage. You're going to get a little congestion over here to the left that'll free Deshaun Jackson up a little bit. But what I like about the play is, A, Nick goes to the throw, keep his eyes down the field, and then delivers the perfect throw over the shoulder of the safety here to Deshaun Jackson, where he's the only one that can catch the football. That's great touch. Great job by Deshaun using the sideline. Now here you're going to see a play where the Eagles had a little momentum going. You're thinking they're going down to score. You got single high coverage here. Nick, I believe, thinks this is man-to-man coverage, but the Vikings are in a little bit of a disguise. You're going to see Prater out here on the outside versus Riley Cooper. Now, Nick does a great job with the play fake. As soon as Deshaun Jackson is here, this is where Nick Foles has to release the ball. I think he takes a little bit too much time to get this ball to Deshaun Jackson. He falls for the bait by Prater, who basically turns Riley Cooper loose to the free safety, and he's just sitting back here waiting on the ball. You like to see your receiver do what he did last week, go up and help his quarterback out, break that pass up, but I think the quarterback has to deliver that ball sooner. Everything's about timing with Nick Foles. That play was late, and it results in an interception.
No interceptions in the first 10, 12 games for Nick Foles, two in the last 2 weeks, so hopefully he can bounce back against the Bears next week. We will hear from Nick Foles at Mall of America Field at Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome in a few minutes here on the postgame show presented by Rico. Adam, how do you expect that Nick Foles will bounce back next week?
First of all, great breakdown by Ike. You know, and Nick has talked about this. He talked about the Dallas game where he did not play well. Everything, all the mistakes are correctable. That's the first thing. You've got the tape tomorrow. That'll be a tough tape study. Obviously, he's going to see his mistakes, but it's all correctable. And this is a guy mentally has come back. He had the bad game against Dallas. What did he do next game? 7 touchdowns. So I fully expect him to bounce back.
How about you?
I do too. I think he'll bounce back. And even going back to that play that Ike was talking about, I think he'll learn from his mistakes. You know, Ike talks about him throwing the ball earlier. Or another thought is, you know, putting it on his back shoulder, getting it to him on a rope. You know, if you look at the Drew Breeses and the Tom Brady's of the world, you know, in situations like that where a guy is downfield, there's an opportunity to put the ball on him quick and to where the defender can't play it. And I think he'll learn from that. And you've seen it over the past couple of weeks. He's improved on that. But, you know, he's still fairly young in this offense.
AJ makes a good point. And plus, since this game is indoors, you don't have to worry about the wind, because we've seen him sometimes put a lot of air on her because he knows that there's wind or it's in cold weather. Here, you're playing indoors. That's not even a factor about, you know, putting air on her. But the bottom line is, I think that could have been more of a line drive throw. I actually would agree with that. That's something I'd like to see him do more. Power off his back foot. He didn't do that enough today. I thought that's where he was off a little bit.
Next week will be under the lights at Lincoln Financial Field, a Sunday night football game against the Chicago Bears. Again, the Bears, a very hot team right now. They're in contention for the NFC North title, so it'll be a good game there. Defensively, though, I think really this is where we're going to be focusing throughout the rest of the week, allowing 48 yards to the Minnesota Vikings. Where do you think the regression came for this Eagles defense?
I think a lot of spacing. The crossing routes, way too much space. They got beat repeatedly by their receivers. Even Chase Ford, of all people, who was with the Eagles last year for a little bit, he beat them also, a tight end who was their third-string tight end for the game. The coverage today was just bad. I mean, let's call it like it was. It was just not good. And part of it, though, it's always hand-in-hand, the pass rush. Not good from the start of the game, Bo, no question about it.
You said as we were watching the game, Adam, that the performance of the defense today sort of brings to light that maybe one of the number one needs for this team is a premier one-on-one pass rusher.
Yeah, and the thing is, because the scheme is so good, you could camouflage these issues. But once in a while, it's going to happen. And it happened in this game where they didn't get home. Matt Cassel, who's not, you know, doesn't have a great arm, was able to make some plays on the run. And he's always had good mobility. That's one thing I could say about Cassel inside the pocket. You saw in that first half, the touchdown throw. He almost got hit twice, but he somehow escaped. They just could not get home today. It's not about sacks. It's about making the quarterback get rid of the football before he wanted. They hardly did that today.
Yeah, the game is won at the line of scrimmage, regardless if you're stopping the run or you're putting pressure on the quarterback. I mean, that's the name of the game here. And when you're facing a team like this and with Minnesota, and I think they're regrouping right now, they're running a fairly simple and standard offense. So the gimmicky stuff on defense really isn't going to disrupt them that much when they're running between the tackles and they're running your basic play-action plays.
Chip Kelly did say in his press conference that part of the reason they went away from the run with LeSean McCoy was that he just didn't feel the offensive line was moving guys up front at the line of scrimmage, and he had a better chance moving the ball downfield against that depleted Vikings secondary. I expect that next week we'll probably see LeSean McCoy get the ball a lot more against the Bears.
I agree with you, Bo, and I appreciate Chip's honesty. You just don't hear coaches, you know, kind of say, hey, you just don't hear that much. So I give that to him, but the bottom line is LeSean McCoy should have got the football. I mean, not clearly enough. It's the first time really all year that they haven't really gone with him.
And he did have five catches for 68 yards, but you do expect him to at least have 15 carries or so. Yeah. He is the league's leading rusher.
Yep.
Yes.
All right, so we are still awaiting Nick Foles' press conference here on the postgame show presented by Rico, keeping our eyes on the Packers-Cowboys game, because obviously the Eagles now hoping that the Cowboys lose. So, okay, well. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and on the other side, hopefully, we'll be joined by Nick Foles, and we'll also hear more from our friend Ike Reese. It's the postgame show presented by Rico on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Have you started shopping?
Just waiting for inspiration to strike.
And there it is. Done.
Genius.
Give the gift of Dunkin' coffee. Get 3 pounds for $19.99. Only at Dunkin' restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and the North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 match fix chances, 5 cash backs. 4 big fours, 3 daily numbers, 2 mega millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Nice sweater.
Thank you.
Festive.
You know it. Hey.
Wow.
I know, right?
I knitted it myself.
Get in the spirit with Dunkin's new Red Velvet Latte. Pick up any medium latte for just $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
Back on the postgame show presented by Rico here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Bo Wolf, AJ Feely, and Adam Kaplan with Ike Reese on the way in a little bit. We are waiting for Nick Foles' press conference out in Minnesota. And the other game we're keeping our eye on, the Cowboys up 6-3 right now in the first quarter against the Green Bay Packers as they look to tie the Eagles atop the NFC East. And you see LeSean McCoy's numbers there. That's not a typo, only 8 rushing attempts for the league's leading rusher. That's going to be a big storyline this week, as is the performance of the defense. They look to bounce back. Adam, the guys coming in next week, maybe the best receiving tandem in the league right now, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey.
And don't forget about Martellus Bennett and Matt Forte, the running back. And they're getting it done. Listen, they've had a lot of injuries on defense. At the tackle, Henry Melton tearing his ACL, his backup, Nate Collins, tearing his ACL. Lance Briggs, but their weak side linebacker's been out with that broken shoulder. They've lost their nickel corner, Hayden. Charles Tillman is a tremendous player. It's amazing, but they're rallying. I mean, they, with that offense, their offensive line's played better. Jay Cutler's back. They threw a couple picks early, but they were able to pull that game out on the road at Cleveland. They're coming on here on a high, and that's a Sunday night game. That game's been flexed. It's going to be crazy.
Well, we sent it out to Minnesota for Nick Foles' post-game press conference.
Yeah, we didn't get things going early on, and that really hurt us, hurt the momentum of the team. So just looking back, we really need to, hurt ourselves early. We really need to execute early on in the game to get the momentum, because we knew, this team, they played their hats off. The Vikings, had a great game plan. They played hard today. They outplayed us today. But it's games like this that make you better, that you grow together, and there's a lot to work on from that game film. So. A lot of corrections to make.
Did you do anything you didn't expect?
No, they just, we had answers. I think, I just got to execute better and put us in a better position at times. I missed some throws and, made a few mistakes that I'll continue to work at. And, as a quarterback, you can't put your team in that position to where, you make a mistake, like throw an interception or whatever it may be. So that's where you just, you keep playing football. You keep grinding. There wasn't a second throughout that game that the team didn't keep fighting and staying in it with one another, and that's why we have a great team here, is because we're gonna come back to work, we're gonna be hungry like we always are, and we're gonna fix the mistakes we made, and we'll be better for it.
What happened on the interception?
Just a bad throw. Just a bad throw. It's as simple as that.
Was it late?
No, it was just a bad throw. I mean, y'all saw it. It was a bad throw. Tell me, as a player,
yeah.
I think it's just the game of football. You're not always going to play at an extremely high level. And the one thing, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep playing for my teammates. I'm going to make mistakes. I've told you that before. I'm not perfect by any means. I will make a mistake, but I guarantee you, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep fighting for the guys in that room. I'm going to keep fighting for the guys on that field because I love those guys. And yes, I made mistakes today, but I'm a person that I understand them and I take it to heart, and it hurts, but it goes to the 24-hour rule where I'll look at the film, I'll understand it, and I'll fix it. And I'm gonna keep pushing these guys because we have a great team here, and we'll get better because of it.
You're normally very active. Today, just didn't seem
yeah, I definitely missed some throws. Was high on a few, inaccurate on a few. And those are the things where you go back at the film and just see why it was, and you continue to work at it. And, got to make sure as a quarterback that on those plays, especially in the clutch, in that situation where it's 2 minutes or you're down, you got to keep fighting. And, I'm going to get better for it.
So what plays would you like to have back?
Well, I don't look at it like that. I don't like, you know, it is what it is. No regrets. You know, obviously you don't want to throw a pick, but, you know, that's not how life is. You can't have a playback and a do-over. So I don't even go there. I get that out of my head and I look at it as, all right, I made a mistake. What can I do next time to not do that mistake? So therefore, it'll make me a better player. I'm not going to let this game defeat me. I'm going to let this game make me better. You know, I'm going to learn from it. Our team's going to learn from it. And we're going to stay together throughout this whole thing, and we're going to make each other better. You know, that's the one thing in the locker room. Not one person, you know, obviously you're frustrated, you're a competitor. You know, you put it all on the field, you sacrifice your body, you do everything. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's tough, but we have a great fellowship of people in that locker room that we're going to keep fighting. We're going to stick together because that's what the Philadelphia Eagles are. You know, we're a team. You know, we're a family. And, you know, it's a special place. And, you know, I'm excited to get back to work and analyze what went wrong and fix it. And I know the guys are too, and they'll be ready to go.
Nick, sorry, that penalty on the touchdown that was called back. Did you get any explanation for that? Or what kind of
yeah, you can't. In the heat of the battle, I made a mistake. I was trying to, you know, make a block to help the team, and you can't turn back on someone and do that. And, you know, I'm at fault. The ref made the right call. You know, I hurt my team in that position. But, you know, it's a learning experience, and by no means was I trying to do anything dirty. I was just playing the game and trying to make a play and help my team, and sort of, you know, in the heat of battle, made a mistake. No, you try to not let that into your mind because I know I've been on teams that have been injured in the past, and you fight hard. You play for those players that are injured, and they went out here today and they played hard. They played great football. You know, their offense, defense, special teams, all around the ball. They played a great team game and they won the game because of it, and they outplayed us. It's as simple as that. You know, they, you know, like I said, hats off to them, but you know, we're going to get better for it. And that's what I'm going to keep preaching. We will get better because of it. You know, I'm not going to let this defeat us. We have a great group of guys, and we will keep pushing forward and, you know, pulling each other along because we are a family. They were mixing up man and zone, one high. They were rolling late. They were bringing different pressures. They mix in a two deep every now and then. They were mixing it around, but they were mainly in one high man, and they, you know, we got to make sure that we execute. You know, no penalties, no turnovers, because that really hurt us.
On the interception, what happened on that play?
I just made a bad throw. You know, I let it out there too much. I probably should have just throttled them down, and you know, I made a bad throw. You know. Can't take it back. I just made a bad throw.
On the sideline, it looked like Deshaun was pretty frustrated.
Deshaun's a competitor, and he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and I understand that. He was frustrated with what's going on because he wants to win so bad. He wants to make plays so bad. So, and everybody has their own way of dealing with it. I understand Deshaun. I understand the frustration. You know, in those situations, you know, we're all in it together. You just let him cool down a little bit, and he's all right. You know, he just has so much heart, so much passion. That, you know, he wanted to make a play. I didn't put him in a good position, but the one thing I grabbed him after was just stay with me. You know, I'm going to keep firing, I'm going to keep firing. And he stayed with me the whole game. And, you know, we'll have a better relationship because of it, because it takes games like that where you're fighting all game, things aren't going right sometimes, you know. Then you have a couple good plays. Then all of a sudden it's not going right again, and you keep fighting. You keep building that character as teammates, as players, as a team, and eventually you're going to have yourself a pretty good team. You know, execution, especially when you get into third down, you can't take sacks. You know, that's where you really have to be sharp. And like you said, momentum, we started gaining some back within, you know, we were within 5 points. That's where we really have to execute and start putting the pressure on. And, you know, they stopped us, and that's where, you know, look at film and see what else we could have done, you know, why they stopped us, and then correct it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
From Nick Foles. AJ, I want to ask you about what Nick said there at the beginning. Games like this in the long run make you better. Is that a fair thing?
Any experience makes a quarterback better. You know, with every rep and practice to playing in game-like situations, it makes you better. The only time it has an opposite effect is when a quarterback loses confidence. and he plays through games like that without second guessing himself. That's when it compounds and it becomes a negative effect and, you know, takes away from a quarterback.
And I think we've seen from Nick Foles that he's not the kind of guy who's going to lose confidence.
Yeah, if you look at that Dallas game of how he played then and how he bounced back the following week, you know, I don't think that's a question mark.
No, in fact, Bo, guys, I really think that he says the right things in the press conferences. He doesn't get down. He says he remains optimistic. That's what you want your quarterback, because he's the leader of the football team. You need that. After a game like this where the team as a unit just did not play well, got off to the terrible start, they have to put this game behind him, as A.J. said earlier. It's one game. Next week, the division's on the line again. And that's the way they have to look at it. As Chip always says, it's a one-game season. Boy, does that really come into play next week.
Cowboys now up 13-3. I should mention that. Adam, we're going to say goodbye to you now and bring in Ike Reese on the other side. Right. Thank you for your service today. What are your final thoughts on the loss?
It's just one of those games. I think our two ex-players here said it best. It's just one game. It only counts as one game. And that's the way that they really have to look at it. I love that when Chip talks about it's a one-game season. To me, it so epitomizes the National Football League. AJ was talking about you never know what's going to happen in the National Football League. Boy, what a great example of that today. I don't think any of us thought the Eagles had a prayer to lose this game. But they've got to get off to a better start, and I think that would help them next week.
ESPN insider Adam Kaplan. Follow him on Twitter at KaplanNFL. Coming back with more on the postgame show presented by Rico on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Bo Wolf, AJ Feely, and Ike Reese coming on the other side.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding Scepter was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
That dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
Scepter is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans. Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Back on the postgame show presented by Rico here. Ike Reese joins us in the fold. Ike, let's start with you talking about the defense. Obviously, after 21 points or fewer, 9 straight games, allowing 48 to the Vikings today, what were your thoughts?
Well, you know, the big thing I saw, Bo, was that they weren't as sharp in the red zone as we've seen them over the past 2 months. I mean, giving up 5 for 6 to the Vikings in the red zone, they typically hold teams to field goals as opposed to touchdowns. And that's how you stay in the game. It's okay to bend, but you don't break. And the Eagles have been living by that for like 2 months now. And today, the Vikings were able to get the ball in the end zone. And that's just been uncharacteristic of this defense that really has played very well. It really have carried, in my opinion, the load over the last month, keeping offense in the game.
That really is what we've seen from this defense, that bend but don't break. Good defense in the red zone. And then the other thing is no big plays over the top. They haven't allowed many big plays in the passing game. And early on, you saw that 57-yard touchdown to Greg Jennings. This really was a game that we have not seen from this defense at all.
Yeah, and, you know, listen, Billy Davis has done a great job, and they play fantastic for 9 weeks. They come up with big turnovers late in the game. Even when the Eagles' offense was struggling versus the Cowboys and the Giants, the Eagles' defense is what kept them in those games into the fourth quarter. And they finally ran into a bad game. Now, some of it had to do with injuries. You lose guys back there in that secondary, and you're down to your second, third, and even in some cases, fourth string guys, particularly at the safety position, who hasn't got a lot of practice this week. The Vikings were able to take advantage of that. You know, give the Vikings credit. They're a pro team. Greg Jennings is a former Pro Bowl wide receiver, so he's capable of making plays. Cordell Patterson, and this is a star in the making for the Vikings. And give Matt Castle some credit. Now, this is a guy that's thrown for 27 touchdowns in this league before. So the Vikings offensive line did a nice job of keeping the Eagles pass rush off Castle as well.
I do think we probably underestimated Matt Castle coming to this game. We probably didn't give him enough credit as a guy who has won plenty of games in the NFL before.
Yeah, Matt Castle's a sneaky guy. He's more athletic than people give him credit for. And you look at some of those plays, he extends them by holding on to the football and breaking away from maybe and sliding to the left or the right to extend it and breaking away from a possible sack and turning it into a big touchdown. I mean, those are the plays that a younger guy and a Ponder possibly, you know, they're not going to make those. But a guy like Matt is going to do that and actually did that.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's been around for a while. He grew up in the system of Bill Belichick behind Tom Brady, so he's capable of doing it for short periods. We know that already, and this was an ideal game for him. They had early success. He gained confidence. That's the worst thing you can have when you're on the road as a favorite, is to give that underdog life. And to have Greg Jennings score that touchdown early, I think that was the tone setter for the Vikings, and they thought they could win this game because the Eagles' offense took a while to get going.
Is there something to be said for losing a game like this and sort of getting your focus back and sort of, you know, maybe the Eagles were reading their press clippings a little bit, 5 wins in a row, started smelling themselves a little bit. Now you sort of get back to having that killer instinct, having to prove yourself.
Yeah, you can make that case. I mean, obviously when you lose a game like that, you look back and you say, all right, what do we need to do to get back to where we were? And you start looking at the fundamentals and the basics of what got us to that point, you know, a couple weeks ago. So, I think you can step back and look at it and be like, all right, we can improve on this. It was a bad deal. Maybe it's an outlier, but let's move on.
It's a little bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah.
And after winning 5 straight games when no one really expected them to run all 5 in a row, this is a little bit of a wake-up call for them. Again, I think part of it was the injuries as well in the secondary, and I'm a little concerned as to whether or not those guys are going to be available next week in that Chicago Bears game. The other thing is, for the defense, and I'm not going to make any excuses for them, but when you're working on a short field constantly, I mean, that starts to wear you down a little bit. And having the kicker, Alex Henery, basically pooched the ball down because we didn't want to kick the ball to Cordell Patterson, I mean, that puts your defense in a tough predicament. And when you add the injuries to the secondary,
right.
I mean, they really would have had to play above and beyond their capabilities today. And they fought for a while, but it just wasn't enough. The Vikings had the momentum, and once they gained that confidence, the Eagles were in a dogfight all day.
When you're starting at the 40-yard line, all it takes is one 20-yard play, and all of a sudden you're basically in field goal range.
I think
that's fair. All right, we're also taking your phone calls here on the post-game show, 215-320-5170. We start things off with Glenn from Florida. How are you, Glenn?
Hey, I'm good, man. I just have a couple points I want to make, though.
Go for it.
Number one, I think that we did put ourselves in a hole with the kickoffs, and I also believe Alex Henry's like one of the best kickers in the league, I think. And usually, you know, 50% of the time he knocks the ball out of the end zone. I was surprised that in a dome they didn't let him kick, you know, try to kick it out.
Yeah, I was surprised today, too. Now, more than likely, last week's game versus Detroit probably made special teams coach Dave Phipp a little apprehensive to want to kick the ball back there to Patterson, considering he was coming off a good game versus the Baltimore Ravens. But having been a special teams lifer myself, John Harbaugh's his game plan every week was make them beat us. We're not going to give them extra yardage. We're not going to squib kick to anybody. He put the onuses on the coverage units to go down there and do their job. And I thought the Eagles should at least started off the game kicking the ball to Patterson. And had he hurt them once, then you switch it up. But just to come into a game, you know, conceding basically 30 to 40 yards of football field, I think that played a big part. Because here's the other thing. It affects what the defensive coordinator is going to call. He can be a lot more aggressive when he has 80 to 70 yards behind him to play with, but when he only has 50 to 55 yards, he can't afford to give up a big play because, just like Bo said, one play, you're in field goal range already.
Well, as a yeah. Pro Bowl special teamer, what is it like after last week giving up two touchdowns on special teams? I'm sure there's some pride. You want to come out and show that you can step up against a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson. Is there a bit of a disappointment in just sort of giving up a little bit?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it, especially with my personality. There's right. no way that I wouldn't have been in Harbaugh's office arguing, give us a chance, coach. Let us go out here and redeem ourselves. Kick him the ball. We'll get the job done. Just trust in us. Now, granted, we hadn't given up the type of returns that the Eagles have given up prior to this game. And Patterson is a very dangerous returner. But I would have made him prove it to me before I just conceded the field position throughout the course of the game.
Definitely, I would have been a reactionary approach to it. You know, you're professionals, and you're getting paid to make tackles. And so why not put the onus on the players to do that? Now, if you get burned on one big play, then you can react to it, and you can kick it like that. Yeah. But I think going into it, I think you have to approach it to, I'm going to put it on the guys and let them make plays and try to make up for last week.
And when the defense is missing guys due to injury, it makes it tough for Billy Davis to call a game from that short of a field because he can't afford to be off on one play because they're in scoring position.
Well, I think that's the case, is that maybe you would have expected that once the Vikings offense showed that they could move the ball in the Eagles defense, maybe then you kick it deep to Cordarrelle Patterson and make them move the ball a little bit longer.
Yeah, totally
so,
agree.
Okay. All right, back to the phone lines we go. Justin, I think we have on the line. What's up?
No, Jordan.
Jordan, I'm sorry.
Hey, how's it going? I'm not very happy right now. I'm not even going to get onto the defense. The thing that has about this game, and I understand they were saying the offensive line was pretty much getting dominated by the Vikings D-line. I get that. Why are we not handing the ball off to the best running back in the game? 8 carries in a whole game?
Believe me. Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, it's just ridiculous. We were in that game for a while. Why are we not handing him off the ball? It just makes no sense to me.
I think we were all a little bit surprised by that. But Chip said he just didn't think that the offensive line was moving the Vikings defensive line at the point of attack, and they wanted to exploit some matchups on the outside.
That. I understand that, but then why aren't we running sweeps to the outside like we've been doing all year? Why aren't we? Because, I mean, one point we did throw like a little pitch out, and we got like, I don't know, 10, 12 yards. I mean, he's been playing good. Why are we not running these sweeps to the outside then or something?
Yeah, I'm surprised, Chip. Normally he sticks with the running game. I mean, he did it last week. We've seen him do it in weeks past. I think he felt he was having so much success through the air throwing the ball, he felt that was the only way they could move the game. But I would like to have seen them stick with the run. If for no other reason, the defense wasn't as stellar today. So you want to keep them off the field
right.
and play a little more ball control. We were moving the ball through the air. We were moving it too well. And every time we scored, whether it was a field goal or a touchdown, the Vikings came right back and on a short field and put our defense on their heels. I would have liked to have seen us play a little more ball control with Shady today.
You wonder if there was any part of this that was trying to just limit Shady's workload a little bit after he had so many carries last week. You want him to be fresh for the last couple of games. I don't think that they altered the game plan because of that necessarily, but you wonder if that was a bit of a factor.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. He's only, what, 23, 24?
Yeah. he's spry 25.
Yeah, right. I'd be surprised at that. I think what happened in the game was that Chip didn't see the success early through the running game, and he saw it through the passing game, and he just decided to stick with what was working for the offense.
All right, well, one of the guys up front who was trying to move the way for LeSean McCoy was center Jason Kelce. We talked to him in the locker room after the loss.
Trying to pull out a victory. We were feeling really good. The momentum was all on our side. And, just got it handed to us. So now all you can do is refocus and try and focus on next week.
LeSean only had 8 carries in this game. Doesn't he need to get more carries for this team to be successful?
Everybody always puts a lot of emphasis on number of carries and stuff like that. But that's always, there's so many other things that dictate that. And we got down early. And when you're down, every coach is going to start calling more pass plays. It's just kind of the way you have to start going. So, I think that had a lot to do with the limited amount of carries, as well as them being a little banged up at quarterback as well.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
One more championship. Let's go.
There's a new kind of energy company that's not just selling you power, it's giving you power. The power to make saving energy easy. The power to customize your electricity plan with green energy and be rewarded for your loyalty. Even the power to help your home generate its own electricity. Now that's the kind of power we can all use.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Bo Wolf, AJ Feely, and Ike Reese back on the postgame show presented by Rico here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Back to the phone lines we go. Billy from North Carolina. What's up, Billy?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Very frustrated. Longtime Eagle fan. Grew up going over to the vet with my dad down in Raleigh, North Carolina. Got to tell you, man, I'm so excited going into this game. They made me believers, but the defense just showed up. It's the same defense that we saw earlier in the year. And we made a group of, I don't know, you guys were talking about, or some guys were talking about Jennings being a a former Pro Bowl wide receiver and this other kid being a star. The long and the short of it is the team's got three wins coming into this game. And I'm just watching the game thinking to myself, what in the world is going on? Matt Castle's got some wins in the NFL, but seriously. And then Chip Kelly and the two-point conversion, I don't get that. What, you're calling time out to bring your field, to bring your PTA team off and then put your two-point conversion team on? You don't have that figured out? I just don't understand. I don't understand any of that. I love Kelly. I'm excited about the Eagles. I'm trying to be excited. But when you see some rookie mistakes from the coaching staff, it makes you wonder what's going on. I just feel like, gosh, I play Madden, and then I know better clock management than what's going on the field. Does anybody else agree with that?
It was weird that they had to call a timeout there. Mm-hmm. I think we were all surprised by that. No question about that.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Pete. It was a tough game all around, man. But I would caution you. Don't lose confidence. They played well for five straight weeks. They ran into somewhat of a trap game. They weren't terrible out there today. They still put up 30 points. The defense finally had a letdown. So I understand your frustration. But, the Minnesota Vikings get paid to play this game as well. And you look at their schedule. They've been in four or five games that they could have very easily won this year, including last week's game in Baltimore. So the Eagles needed to be on their A game today in order to beat this team, and they weren't. They were not on their A game. The coach didn't have one of his best coaching games, but you still got two games left to go, and the Eagles still control their own destiny. So don't get too frustrated. It's okay to be frustrated today. But I'm anxious to see how this team bounce back next week at home versus the Chicago Bears.
It's hard to look at it this way because you get so caught up in the way season's going. You got five straight wins. But if you had said before the season started, you'd be sitting at 8-6, tied atop the division, a chance to control your own destiny the last two games of the season, I think we all would take
it. We all would take it.
All right, so back to the phone lines we go. Shane in New Jersey. What do you got, Shane?
Hey, guys. It's a pleasure talking to you, first of all.
Hey, Shane.
First of all, I just want to start by saying Chip Kelly's explanation for not giving the ball to LeSean McCoy because the offensive line was not moving the defensive line of the Vikings, I don't buy that. The kid has 4.8 yards a carry. That's more than enough for him to keep getting the ball back, and they're going to get tired at some point. So that's not a valid – I mean, he owes us an explanation. That's not a right explanation of saying the offensive line didn't seem strong enough to move the defensive line of the Vikings. I don't buy that. Second, the corners. I don't even know what to say. I don't know. We're be facing Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, and I have no idea how these guys are going to stop them. Like, they don't turn around and look for the ball. Continuously, they're hanging on to the wide receivers. How are they going to make any kind of like pass interference after pass interference? I hope there's going to be some changes. I hope they, I don't know, the basics needs to be fixed, especially on defense. And offense, like I said, LeSean McCoy needs to run it more, but I don't know. At the end of the day, Chip Kelly knows more than me. I'm just a viewer. But hopefully things get fixed before next week. But it's tough to be optimistic, especially after the defensive display after this game. I mean, it's ridiculous. We couldn't get off the field on 3rd and 14, 3rd and 12. I don't know, guys. I mean, I'm sorry to be a downer, but...
We're all frustrated, Shane.
No, you have every right to be frustrated with today's effort. We hadn't seen a game like this since that Denver Broncos game. I mean, we just
exactly.
hadn't when you look at their defense. And I guess you could take something out of the fact that Earl Wolf should be back next week. That should improve your secondary. I'm hoping that Brandon Boykin won't be missing next week's game.
Right.
So you may have your secondary at its full strength next week. And they're definitely going to need that against the Chicago Bears. But I totally understand your frustration after today's game because the defense hadn't shown this type of vulnerability since they faced Peyton Manning.
Those third and longs, those are just what kill you. They keep the drives going. They keep, especially with the short fields, again, yeah. That was a killer today that we haven't seen, I think, in a long time.
Keep in mind, next week, it's going to be in the elements, too. So for any opposing quarterback coming in here, it could be a little tougher than throwing in a dome like Matt Castle did today. I mean, that changes the whole, you know, the game plan and how you're going to approach it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you're exactly right. The Eagles, listen, they it's okay to be upset about today's game. They should because it should matter to them. But they have to realize that the season is still in the balance. They control their own destiny. You come back home next week. Versus the Chicago Bears, and you take care of business, and then you that last game, you see what happens.
That's
in that
what's all. Just
game.
Get me to Week 17. Get me there. That's all I'm asking for.
Yep.
All right, back to the phone lines. Ray from San Diego. What's up, Ray?
Well, guys, you know, I know you guys have heard a few of the callers talking about, you know, they couldn't believe what happened today. To me, it's like I found that the Eagles were playing in all of these guys. I mean, I get it that this guy Patterson is fast, but you never even gave your special teams a chance to do anything. And to me, I don't think it sends the right signals to the special teams. I think when you're expecting your defense to take care of these guys on a short field, and, you know, other people have talked about it, you guys talked about it, it was pretty brutal to watch. And then I think the third thing to me was the penalties. The taunting penalties. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen two taunting penalties, like almost like play after play. And to me, what's going on? These guys are losing their composure over a game like this. I know the frustration's high, but man, oh man.
Well, I wanted to bring this up actually when the last caller was complaining about the pass interference calls. There was that really ticky-tack one on Bradley Fletcher at the end of the second half. It was not the difference in the game today, but I was not impressed by the performance of the referees in keeping control of this game today.
I tell you, boy, I haven't been impressed by the officials the last 3 or 4 weeks, and we as Eagles fans just happen to be on the right side of most of those calls.
That's fair. maybe this was cosmic justice,
yeah.
I guess.
Comes around, goes around.
Yeah. Yeah, well, AJ, I tell you, these things typically balance itself out. You're going to get a few in your favor. And when you're on the road, you're going to get some calls that sort of go against you. That pass interference against Bradley Fletcher.
That was ridiculous.
There's
a guy
call.
Standing right there who doesn't call it, and then the guy on the other side calls it. It's just absurd.
Yeah, that was terrible.
All right, thanks for all right, James in Texas is who we have on the line now. What's up, James?
Hey, what's going on?
I don't know what's going on or what to say, but from the first play of the game, first series, I'm not understanding why the defensive line was so thinned out. There was nobody in the backfield. Like, I'm not understanding why they were so animate of rushing the edges, letting them. The Vikings did basic football on offense and defense, which is crazy about it, and we didn't adjust. And secondly, what are they teaching the cornerbacks? I'm not understanding. Why you ain't looking at the receiver's eyes? Why ain't you turning around looking at the ball? Why you getting burnt?
Yeah, you got it. As a defensive back, you got to play with confidence. Yeah. And you got to challenge guys when the ball is in the air, particularly in man-to-man situations. You got to fight for the football. And there was a couple times where I thought our corners should have been up on the line of scrimmage, challenging guys, playing a little more bump and run coverage as opposed to giving these guys cushion. But part of the issue today was, particularly in the first half, we didn't get enough of a pass rush. We didn't get any pass rush.
But
Castle had a lot of time to throw the ball back there and pick up those third downs.
Right. My thing is, where was the defensive adjustments? Like the line, why are you thinning out in a 3-4? You're not supposed to stack everybody. Why would you stack everybody on the line? On a 3-4 defense, are you serious? There's nobody in the back.
Yeah.
They kept running the ball up the middle, up the middle, up the middle. I'm like, I couldn't believe it.
Well, I don't think the running game is what beat the Eagles today. Asiata had 57 yards or 51 yards on 30 carries, so he was not really what beat the Eagles today. It was, I think, Matt Castle.
14 yards they had to have.
Yeah, he made a lot of plays, but I think Bo is right. I mean, plays being made down the field, throwing the ball is what beat them today. That's what hurt this defense today. It wasn't running the football. It was throwing the football, and the Minnesota Vikings – having the ability to convert third downs. I mean, they were 8-for-13 on third downs. And as a defense, it's not the yardage that you worry about. It's the points. It's the third down conversions. I mean, that's what you worry about. That's how you measure a good defense. You can't give up touchdowns. You hold them to field goals, and you have to get off the field on third down.
And listen, I think we're all very frustrated by the loss today. The defense did not play well. Mm-hmm. But they are coming off having allowed 21 points or fewer than 9 games before that. This was a stinker, but I think they deserve a little bit more credit than just analyzing the way they played today. I think you have to look at it a little bit more in the bigger picture.
I totally agree. I'm not even angry about the way the defense played today because, you know, going through a stretch of 2 weeks of playing good defense and holding teams to less than 21 points in a pass-happy league, in an offensive-happy league where 30 is nothing to score for most teams, this defense did a pretty good job for two and a half months, and they finally had a letdown. I mean, and a lot of it was due to, again, field position and some key injuries in the secondary.
And we will see what they can do next week against an explosive offense. And you talk about limiting the big plays. Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, two as big play receivers as you've got in the league.
Yeah, physically too. I mean, you're going to face guys that are huge and big playmakers. Yeah. So
don't forget about the tight end Bennett.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at they were catching jump balls today. I mean, wait till next week.
So it'll be an interesting week to follow as the Eagles prepare for the Bears. Two commercial break we go. Still taking your phone calls on the other side. 215-320-5170 right here on the postgame show presented by Rico.
Have you started shopping?
Just waiting for inspiration to strike. And there it is. Done.
Genius.
Give the gift of Dunkin' Coffee. Get 3 pounds for $19.99. Only at Dunkin' Restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love. Like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 match 6 chances, 5 cash buys for me.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Nice sweater.
Thank you.
Festive.
You know it. Hey.
Wow.
I know, right?
I knitted it myself.
Get in the spirit with Dunkin's new Red Velvet Latte. Pick up any medium latte for just $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
Bo Wolf, AJ Feely, and Ike Reese here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. The post-game show presented by Rico. Shortly, we will hear from both LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson in the locker room following the Eagles' 48-30 loss to the Minnesota Vikings. But for now, we go back to the phone lines. Keith in Pennsylvania. How are you, Keith? Keith ditched us, unfortunately. He showed up as much as the Eagles' defense did today. All right, we wait for another phone call here, and we'll see what we have to hear from LeSean McCoy. But look at this Eagles schedule. Next week is that Sunday night football game under the lights at Lincoln Financial Field against the Chicago Bears. And then we've got the Dallas Cowboys. Week 17, that's what it's all about. The Cowboys next week, right now they're beating the Packers. Next week they go to Washington, and they've got Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins on the road.
Yeah, so hopefully my Spartan brother can take care of business for us next week down there in the nation's capital versus the Cowboys. But first and foremost, the Eagles have to take care of their own business. This will be a very tough game against the Chicago Bears, who are trying to win the NFC North. They escaped Cleveland with a win today. They didn't look as good in Jay Cutler's first start in the last 4 to 5 weeks. But I expect him to be a little more in sync next week. He's gotten the rust off a little bit. He threw some interceptions today. To me, I'm more concerned about who are we getting back on defense for the Eagles. I'm not worried about the offense because the offense got rolling once. You know, they had a few positive plays. So they'll put points on the board. But you don't want this to be a shootout versus the Bears next week. We need the defense to get back to holding teams to field goals, forcing them to punt the ball, and getting our offense the ball back, and get Shady the ball, play a little bit more ball control offense. We can't have a shootout next
This
week.
Is not the same identity of a Bears team that we've come to know. This is not the fearsome defense and the ball control offense. This is an explosive offense and what's really been a leaky defense so far.
Yeah, the Browns were able to put up, close to 30
Jason
points.
Campbell.
With Jason Campbell against that defense. So, the Eagles, the opportunities will be there for them offensively. They just have to accept the challenge on the outside versus Alshon Jeffries and Brandon Marshall. I keep talking about how big and how physical those receivers are. I mean, if we had trouble stopping Jerome Simpson, Jennings today, and
Cordarrelle
Patterson, you're talking about two of the – you're probably talking about the best tandem. I think they lead the league as far as a tandem and receptions and touchdowns this year.
And you're not going to be facing a common offense either. It's not going to be a simple offense. With Mark Trestman there, you're going to be facing like a pretty wide variety of a West Coast offense where he's going to put those guys in positions, you know, where they're number one from the outside and from the inside of making plays downfield. I mean, that's what Mark Trestman does when he was in Oakland. He gets the ball in the playmaker's hands.
Yeah, and by the way, Matt Forte still plays for Chicago.
Hopefully we get some Jay Cutler picks. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, well, he's capable of doing that, Bo.
He most certainly is. All right, back to the phone lines. Ray from Kentucky. What's up, Ray?
How y'all doing, guys? Merry Christmas, Ike.
Hey, Ray, how you doing?
Really? Doing good. I'm not going to knock our guys. I think our guys have done good the last 5 weeks. I've been really impressed with them. I mean, you can have off day. I mean, I know they had off day against Dallas and everything, but I still think they'll bring a game next week, the next 2 weeks.
And we certainly hope so.
Yeah, I agree. I think they realized they let one get away today. They basically didn't start rolling until the third quarter, really. And I think they realized they got to come out, start faster. The sense of urgency will be there. I don't think there was a lack of preparation this week. I don't think they overlooked this team. Sometimes you got to give your opponent credit. Minnesota, again, they've lost a lot of close games this year. They're still playing for Leslie Frazier.
Right.
They want to try to keep him there as their coach. And they came out at home and they put forth a good effort. And when you let a team like this hang around, they start to gain confidence as the game goes on. And once the Eagles got their feet under them, Minnesota, it was too late. Minnesota was already fully invested in this game, and the Eagles were in the dogfight, so to speak.
So, I still think we're going to come back and win this. We're going to win the East. I believe that, and we're going to go to the playoffs. So, I haven't lost any hope in the Eagles, and I think we're going to continue to win the next two games.
And appreciate the faith, Ray.
And if nothing else, Ray, we all have faith in Tony Romo to do what he typically does during the month of December. So,
Ike, week 17, would you take a would you take an Eagles win over the Cowboys or a Michigan State Rose Bowl win? Which one?
Come on, man, that's a tough one. Go Sparty. It's been 26 years since you've been in the Rose Bowl. Give me the win in the Rose Bowl,
bro. All right, that's fine. That's fine. We'll give that to you. All right, we're still just taking your phone calls. Yep, 215-320-5170. You got to be honest. That's what the post-game show presented by Rico really is all about, is honesty. So still taking your phone calls.
You didn't say
of course.
That. You didn't say that meant they were getting in the playoffs.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't qualify.
Yeah,
so
you didn't say that.
You know
yeah.
what? You gave the right answer. Now, if I had said NFC Championship game, maybe we're talking a different story.
Give me Eagles.
Okay.
NFC, we're talking about the Super Bowl. Come on now.
a trip to beautiful South North Jersey. All right, 215-320-5170 is the number. We're also going to hear shortly from DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy, and we are waiting your phone calls. So let's see what you got to say with the Eagles. Two games left and one game before a Week 17 matchup with the Cowboys. The Cowboys right now up 16-3 on the Green Bay Packers. So we go to the phone lines. We've got Muhammad on the line. What's up, Muhammad?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Muhammad.
Doing well.
Yeah.
Turn your speakers down if you can, Muhammad, please.
All right, got you. I just want to discuss a couple of things. Throughout the game, I was looking at the Chip Kelly's, like, offensive play calling. And on the fourth down, I don't remember what quarter it was on. It was, like, the fourth and one with Shady McCoy.
Yeah, third quarter, I think.
I thought it was kind of questionable going to shotgun. They should have done, like, a more traditional, conventional offense and try to get that 1 yard rather than, you know, going to shotgun.
Well, I actually think the fourth down, they were under center when he handed off, and Shady was stopped short. When they went on shotgun was third down, which I think that was the play to challenge. That was a bad spot. Shady, I think, got the first down on that one, but the Eagles then went to the line and did the traditional offense, and Shady got stopped. A lot of calls that you could really debate in this game from the Eagles and from the refs. I thought that they should have challenged that third down play.
Yeah, it certainly looked like he had got that ball past the first down marker on that third down play. But I guess Chip figured, I'm going to go for it. Instead of burning the timeout, we ought to be able to pick up this 1 yard. And that's a little bit of a questionable call there, going for it deep in your own territory. But when you got arguably the best running back in football, you tend to think that they should be able to pick up 1 yard there.
And the Eagles have been statistically one of the best or three best teams in the league in short yardage situations this season. So you hang your hat on what you do best. And speaking of that, we now go to the locker room. LeSean McCoy, how does he react to being the league's leading rusher and only getting 8 carries against the Minnesota Vikings?
You carried a heavy load, though. I mean, 13 touches, you feel like, I don't know, you can help more if you get a little bit more than that.
That's the only thing about this situation is sometimes being down so fast, you got to go to something else. And the type of competitor I am, you know, I want the ball at all costs. You know, but it's time like this where you have to throw the ball, you know, it really kind of eliminates the running back.
Did they do anything differently to you guys? Like, they challenge your offense differently than other teams? Or?
I actually played a little different than we thought. A little bit more manned than what we expected. You know, so and they blitzed a little bit more than usual. But we had them. We had them when we had them by down 5 coming back. Just that we didn't finish up.
Do you get in a situation where you ask for the ball more, or you go to Coach Kelly and like, look, give me the ball more?
Well, the good thing with Coach Kelly is we have an understanding. You know, he knows how competitive each player is. You know, sometimes like, hey, Coach, you know, let me get going, or let me get this player, that player. You know, but he does a great job of distributing the ball out to all the players and you know, getting everybody enough touches. So there's no need to really tell him what to do because he knows what to do.
Did you think you have a bigger role today?
I'm sorry?
Did you think you'd have a bigger role today?
Each week I feel like I'm going to have a load of carries in the air or on the ground. But like I said, I mean, I felt like today we had to throw the ball, getting down so early. We didn't expect to be down, so fast.
All right, good stuff there from LeSean McCoy. We go back to the phone lines. Yanni from North Carolina. What's up, Yanni?
How you guys doing?
Hey, Yanni.
Doing all right. Could be better.
Man, I'm not a happy camper right now. That's all I can really say. First off, I want to say this about the special teams. Even though they didn't even kick the Cordell Patterson, they still allowed him to beat him because every time they were getting the ball at least the 40-yard line. You can't beat a team. I don't care if the team is 0-5. You can't beat a team like that when they're starting the ball at the 40 every other time. Like, that's not a good way to start football. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta have trust in your guys to say, okay, we know what he can do. Let's go down there and stop him. We're men. We're football players, special teams. That's our job. To kick the ball, whoever gets it, we tackle him, we stop him. Let's not cop out and start at the 40 every time because now we're putting our defense in jeopardy.
I think that's what Ike would tell you.
Yeah, I totally agree there. And listen, I think this is something they'll learn from. You know, field position, we're talking about hidden yardage. Well, this is what hurt the Eagles today, the hidden yardage. You know, it won't show up on the stat sheet that they had a 35 or a 40-yard kickoff return. But when you're squib kicking it like that or pooch kicking it like that and they're starting drives at the 35 and 40, I mean, that's less work that the Vikings have to do to get in scoring position. Yeah,
absolutely. One last thing I want to add before you guys let me go. I don't care if the Jolly Green Giant is out there with 13 men on the field. LeSean McCoy has to get more than 8 yards to carry. I'm sorry. No one's ever the line wasn't moving. He was averaging 4.6 yards a carry. I don't want it to be the line wasn't getting movement. He has to get the ball. He's been the playmaker for this team all this year, and you got to stay with him. And that's all I got to say. You guys have a good day, man.
Thanks for the call, Yanni. We don't disagree. I think we all expected Shady to get more carries than that. We talked about the Bears' offensive weapons. Special teams, they've also got Devin Hester coming our way next week, so it'll be interesting to see what the Eagles do kickoff-wise.
Forgot about him, too.
So.
I forgot about him,
tough
too.
Tough decisions to be made in the kickoff game.
And if we didn't kick it to Patterson, I don't know what we're going to do next week.
Just kick it out of bounds?
Yeah, just kick it out of bounds. Honestly, I would
give the guys
I don't know if I would kick it to Devin Hester, man. That's tempting fate.
Listen,
right
you got to go. I want special teams. I want the pride. I want to line up and take him down.
Well, don't get me wrong. If it was my special teams unit, of course I would say kick it to Devin Hester.
Right.
But this unit isn't as good as some of the units that I played on, and that's no knock against those guys. This is their first year here. And believe me, this unit is much better than it has been in the last 2 or 3 years. They actually have guys out there that enjoy playing special teams, which makes me a little surprised that
didn't give him a chance.
Yeah, you didn't give him a chance to go out there and see whether or not Patterson could get big returns.
And it's weird because Patterson has been the best kickoff returner in the league this year. He's got the best average. He's got
33 yards,
two touchdowns. But the Eagles special teams has been very good until last week.
Yeah.
You wonder if it's maybe an overreaction to a game in the snow that really you sort of want to throw out because the conditions were so different.
And that's the way I would have looked at last week's game. I would not have held this against the Eagles special teams unit last week. As a matter of fact, I didn't criticize them all week just because of the elements they had to play in. It was an advantage for the return guys. It's hard to stop those guys. I would not have allowed that to affect my game plan for this week's game.
All right, well, one of the guys who did have a big game for the Eagles today, DeSean Jackson, 10 catches over 190 yards, a touchdown, and we talked to him after the game to find out what worked for the Eagles offense and why he got so animated on the sideline.
Coming out, I mean, it just wasn't the same team, obviously.
I mean, I don't see why we should be fat. You know, we got a lot going, a lot riding on this game today, so. You know, for anybody to be partaking in going out there and not really having the energy and, you know, not having the animosity to go out there and win an important game like this. So I can't see it in my eyes. You know, I know how big of a game this was, and you know, that's why I was trying to do any and everything I can to win this game. So I said a little bit of frustration here and there on the field, but that just, you know, goes with me wanting to be a very high competitor and win the game. You know, and I wasn't able to get that done. And I just felt something about that game, how things was going. You know, we wasn't able to get things done. That was frustrating.
Did they challenge you in any sort of different way as an offense? Did they do anything differently?
No, I mean, I don't really try to get into that. I felt it was plays that, you know, we should have went out there and executed. Like I said, I don't feel, you know, their defense was able to, you know, going into this game, I didn't feel they was going to be able to stop us and, you know, do the things they was able to do today. So, you know, sometimes that's what happens when you go play a game. You know, the other guys are in the NFL too, so. Like I said, it's just a frustration part because I know how talented and how dangerous this offense can be. So, you know, throughout that game, you know, seeing us not being able to get things going and just off really was frustrating for myself.
There was a punt in the fourth quarter. It bounced in front of you. Looking back upon it, do you feel like that was one maybe you could have run up and caught, or do you like your decision there?
I mean, that wasn't a big, you know, point in the game, so we just went.
Is there anything more you would have done to try and break up the interception?
I mean, I didn't, like I said, I felt I was open. So just the timing on that, I didn't feel him, you know, right away I didn't feel him. So, you know, looking up, I was just trying to make a play on it. He just came off his man and
I just looked up and he was right there. He made a play on the ball. So,
did somebody say make
Have you started shopping? Just waiting for inspiration to strike. And there it is. Done.
Genius.
Give the gift of Dunkin' Coffee. Get 3 pounds for $19.99. Only at Dunkin' Restaurants. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and the North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
This holiday season, my good friend gave to me 7 Powerball tickets, 6 max, 6 chances, 5 cash knives, 4 big 4s, 3 daily numbers, 2 Lego millions.
Happy holidays, Rita.
Thanks, Joe.
What a great gift.
Pennsylvania Lottery tickets make great gifts, like the new $20 Merry Millionaire.
Happy holidays.
And best wishes from the lottery.
Nice sweater.
Thank you.
Festive.
You know it. Hey.
Wow.
I know, right?
I knitted it myself.
Get in the spirit with Dunkin's new Red Velvet Latte. Pick up any medium latte for just $1.99. America runs on Dunkin'.
Welcome back to the postgame show presented by Rico here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Bo Wolf, AJ Feely, and Ike Reese as we begin to wrap this thing up. 48-30, the Eagles lose to the Vikings. We turn the page and welcome in the Chicago Bears next Sunday night on Sunday Night Football. AJ, your final thoughts on the loss today?
I think you just got to, as a fan, you got to forget it. Turn the page, burn the book. For the players, they need to, you know, buckle their chin straps and come ready to play. We're ready to practice on Wednesday and forget about it and learn from it.
Tuesday. We're not the Andy Reid schedule. We got practice on Tuesday.
They did lose, so there's not a two-day off schedule. Yes, you're right.
That's right. Yeah, you know what? I just think they had to be a little angry about today's game. They know they're a better team. They lost to an inferior opponent today. They still have a lot riding on this season, coming back here next week. I think they'll be ready to play. You know, I really believe they will. This team has showed that they have resolve. They played their two worst games against the Cowboys and the Giants, and then they went on a 5-game winning streak. So I expect the same thing to happen next week. We'll be at home. It'll be prime time, 8:30. And I know one thing, number 25 and number 10, they love to play when it's prime time.
There's no question about that. I think the anger that we got from some of the callers today is indicative of what is going on in the locker room. These guys, they're, I'm sure, itching to get back out there next week.
Yeah, not a happy plane ride back from Minnesota. And that's the way that it should be. Because I go back to the last 2 years, you know, and I hate doing this, but it's the only thing I can refer to right now. I don't think the losses hurt as much to that squad the last 2 years. I don't think they took it personal. This team seems to care. They enjoy playing for one another. They realize that there's a prize waiting for them at the end of the season, which is postseason play. We haven't had it since 2010. Hosting a playoff game. I think they'll come back ready to play next week. This team is not going to give up.
All right, and that does it for the postgame show presented by Rico. For AJ Feely, Ike Reese, Adam Kaplan, and myself, we thank you for watching. Eagles Live returns tomorrow at noon. You can watch Chip Kelly's press conference live right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Thanks for watching, everybody.